Music Doodoo Classical Bedtime presents Antonin Dvorak and the Two Sunsets. Imagine standing at the very edge of a giant ship, looking out at nothing but grey, crashing waves. 9 days at sea. Your home is somewhere behind you, lost in the mist. A strange new world is somewhere ahead, hidden in the fog. And all you have to keep you company is a melody in your head. This melody, the one you're hearing right now, it was written by a man who crossed an ocean, missed his family so much his heart ached, and turned that ache into one of the most beautiful pieces of music ever created. His name was Antonin Dvorak, with a little zh sound in the middle, like the hiss of a steam engine. Dvorak. But before the ship, before the ocean, before America, there was a little village called Melohozoves, tucked beside a river in a land called Bohemia. Close your eyes and imagine it. Wood smoke curling from chimneys, green hills rolling away in every direction, the smell of fresh bread and damp grass. And at young Antonin's father's inn, a fiddle always playing while neighbours clapped and stomped their boots on the wooden floor. Oh, how those Bohemians loved to dance! Spinning, whirling, stamping dances that made the floorboards shake. And running right past the village, so close you could wave at the engineer, was a train track. Little Antonin would stand by the fence for hours, watching the iron engines thunder past in clouds of steam. When you hear the next piece of music, listen for those dancing feet, the stamp of boots, the swirl of skirts, the fiddles calling everyone to spin faster and faster. Is the sound of Bohemia. Music so alive it practically grabs your hand and pulls you onto the dance floor. Even when Antonin grew up and moved to Prague, the big city, to study music, he never forgot those village sounds. He was so poor he sometimes didn't have money for dinner. He played viola in an orchestra for years, sitting in the back, watching, learning, dreaming. And when he finally started writing his own music, it sounded like home, like fiddles at weddings, like trains whistling past, like the wide Bohemian sky at sunset. Soon, people all over Europe were playing his music. Antonin Dvorak, the butcher's son from a tiny village, became famous. And then, a letter arrived from the other side of the world. America, The United States wanted Antonin to come to New York City and run their brand new music school. Antonin was 51 years old. He had 6 children. He had a cozy home with pigeons in the garden. He had never crossed an ocean. But the offer was too exciting to refuse. So in 1892, he kissed his children goodbye, boarded a steamship, and sailed toward a place he had only ever read about in books. Listen to this music. Slow, searching, uncertain. Like gazing out at endless waves, wondering what waits on the other side. 9 days of nothing but grey water, and then finally, through the morning mist, land. New York didn't just sound loud. It sounded like a giant machine that never slept. It was the iron clack, clack, clack of trains running on tracks high above the streets. It was the salty smell of the harbour where ships blasted their foghorns. It was 100 different languages, Italian, German, Chinese, Yiddish, all swirling together like a thick stew. Nothing smelled like wood smoke and grass here. Everything smelled like coal and iron and the sea. Antonin moved into a house on East 17th Street and started teaching at the National Conservatory of Music. This school was special. It welcomed everyone, rich or poor, men or women, and, very importantly, black students as well as white students. That's where Antonin met someone who would change his music forever. His name was Harry Burleigh, a young black man with the most beautiful singing voice Antonin had ever heard. Harry would visit Antonin at his home, and there, in the parlour, he would sing. He sang spirituals, songs that enslaved African Americans had created, songs about sorrow and hope, songs about longing for freedom, songs passed down through generations, never written on paper, just carried in voices and hearts. As Harry sang, Antonin leaned in close, his eyes half closed. These weren't just songs. They were stories of heavy hearts and bright hopes. And something about them felt familiar. They reminded him of the folk songs back in his own village. Different notes, different words, but the same soul, the same ache, the same beauty. This, Antonin thought, is the true sound of America. But as the months passed, Something else was growing in Antonin's heart. Homesickness. He missed his children terribly. He missed his pigeons. He missed the sound of Czech words on the street. He missed the way the sunset looked over the green Bohemian hills, soft pinks and oranges, not the sharp red glare bouncing off New York's brick buildings. And when he felt most lonely, do you know where Antonin would go? The train station, Grand Central. He would stand on the platform for hours, just watching the engines, the hiss of steam, the clang of bells, the long, low whistle echoing through the station. Trains reminded him of home, of standing by the fence as a boy, waving at engineers. In New York, the trains were bigger, louder, more powerful, but they spoke the same language. And at night, alone with his piano, Antonin began to write. He decided to write a symphony. But not just any symphony, a grand one. He called it From the New World. Do you know what a symphony is? Imagine a musical story told by a huge group of musicians. 50, 60, sometimes 100 people. Violins, trumpets, flutes, drums, all working together to paint pictures with sound. And the symphony usually has four parts called movements. Think of them as four different islands in one big ocean. Each island has its own weather, its own mood. The first island might be stormy and exciting. The second might be peaceful and dreamy, like a lullaby. The third might be wild and dancing. The fourth might be triumphant, like crossing a finish line. Antonin poured everything into this symphony. The spirituals Harry taught him, the churning energy of New York, but also Bohemia, the village dances, his mother's lullabies, his own aching, homesick heart. The most famous melody comes from the second movement, the slow, dreamy island. Listen for an instrument called the English horn. It's a long wooden tube that makes a sound like a lonely voice, singing softly from far away. Reedy and tender, like someone calling you home across a great distance. This melody is so beautiful that later someone added words to it and called it Going Home. Isn't that perfect? Antonin wrote it while he was far from home, dreaming of home. And the melody itself seems to walk slowly, peacefully, home.
Thank you.
In December of 1893, the New World Symphony had its premiere at Carnegie Hall in New York City. That means it was played for the very first time. The concert hall was packed, every seat taken, people standing in the aisles. Antonin sat in a private box, clutching the railing. The orchestra began, and from the very first notes, something magical happened. The audience couldn't contain themselves. After each movement, not just at the end, they burst into wild applause. In the final movement, listen for something special. The strings play a fast, steady beat, da-da-da-dum, da-da-da-dum, that sounds just like the wheels of a locomotive racing down the track. Antonin put his beloved trains right into the music. When the final note rang out, the whole hall erupted. People leapt to their feet. They cheered. They waved handkerchiefs in the air. They demanded Antonin stand up and show himself. With tears in his eyes, the butcher's son from a tiny Czech village bowed to the cheering crowd. He had done something no one thought possible. He had woven together two completely different worlds. Bohemian fiddles and American spirituals, village dances and train rhythms, wood smoke and steam engines, into one beautiful tapestry of sound. Antonin stayed in America for 3 years altogether, but his heart never stopped tugging him back across the ocean. In 1895, he finally went home to Bohemia. He hugged his children, he fed his pigeons, he watched the trains roll past his country house, just like when he was a boy. He never returned to America. But here's the beautiful thing. He didn't need to, because in his New World Symphony, both of his homes lived together forever. The wide American sky and the green Bohemian hills, the spirituals and the folk dances, the longing and the joy. Antonin Dvorak showed us that you can love two places at once, that homesickness isn't just sadness, it can become something beautiful, that music doesn't belong to just one country, it belongs to every heart brave enough to listen. So tonight, as you close your eyes, imagine you're watching two sunsets at once. One over the spires of Prague, where the river catches the last golden light, and church bells ring in the distance. another over the Hudson River in New York, where the sky turns pink behind the tall buildings and a ship's horn echoes across the water. Two homes, two sunsets, one heart, full of music, big enough to hold them both. And somewhere far away, a train whistle echoes through the evening, calling you home, wherever home may be. Good night.